Animal rights and militant veganism have made headlines in Australia this year. Farms have been raided and restaurants have been stormed by protesters who think it's wrong to raise animals for food. Primary producers say the action of some extreme animal activists are not only illegal, but pose a real threat to the country's meat and livestock trade. It's a fierce and emotive debate, and it can feel like there's no peaceful middle ground. But one place you can find is a small town near the top of Western Australia. Heidi and Ray Sampi run the local butcher shop in Derby, but when they're not doing that, they run a wildlife sanctuary for injured and orphaned Kimberley wildlife. Regional reporter Rachel Carbonell paid them a visit.
Derby Wildlife Sanctuary is just off the Gibb River Road, nestled in bushland not far out of town.
Hi. Hi, Heidi.
How are you?
I'm Rachel.
Come on.
There are some kangaroo and wallaby joeys hopping around just inside the gate.
Hello. Are these little agiles or?
No, they're the reds.
They're the reds, are they?
Some of the reds, yeah. How are you two?
Okay, how old are these ones?
These ones here, probably about 7 months old.
Yeah, okay. Can you just describe for me where we're walking through here?
Okay, this is our nursery area. So this is where all the babies are, where they just come and go by themselves once they get to a certain age. So in this little learning to be independent. So this is Arnold here. He's a big red. He's our biggest boy. He wants to lay down the sun.
There are only a handful of registered wildlife carers scattered across the vast Kimberley region. Here in the Western Kimberley, Heidi Sampi will take in almost any animal that needs help.
We've taken any native animal. I love my bats, absolutely one of my favourites. Wallabies, kangaroos, crocodiles, birds, lizards, frilled neck lizards we've had before. So pretty much anything. We have no vet here. We have no one else. So if we don't help them, no one else is going to help them here, unfortunately. We're it. The nearest vet here is in Broome, and the Broome vet comes out once a week to Derby. So we are quite isolated in with help, medical help here for animals. But they're always on the end of the phone for advice.
And so by necessity, the sanctuary here is a pretty slick operation.
So this is just my storeroom part here that I have. And when it's really hot, we can shut those doors and put the air con through.
Oh, nice.
When there, it's because it just gets insanely hot. So, and this is my prep area. So all my medications and food prep area, all that sort of stuff.
It's taken a couple of years to get the place fully kitted out.
When we moved here 2 years ago, there was absolutely nothing here. So at the moment we have, we call it a critter care room. So we have a treatment room and where we do all the treatment on the animals, sometimes having to set legs, do fluids, see to cuts and abrasions, all sorts of things, sedate animals that are really traumatised. And then we have at the end the animal room where they've got their pouches hanging and they can come and go inside, outside, and they're always out of the weather. From there we have our nursery area, which is got grass, sand, a natural pond, so they can roam around and be as natural as possible.
Wherever you go in this place, there's an animal within sight or underfoot, usually a macropod of some kind.
And this one here is Lucky. When Lucky was little, she actually fell out of Mum's pouch, rolled, and was knocked unconscious. And the people that found her thought that she'd dead. They thought perhaps she'd passed away, and it was about half an hour later, she woke up. So that hence we call her Lucky.
Although really, all the animals here are lucky. Heidi even has a second-hand humidity crib for the tiniest joeys.
They have to be kept at a certain temperature, so they between 28 and 33 degrees at all times with 70% humidity. And if they don't have that, their skin dries out, they just can't continue living because all the energy goes into keeping warm. It's very intensive care, and they get fed 3 hours around the clock, so night and day, so it's pretty tiring.
You don't get a lot of sleep, huh?
No. That's okay, it's worth it.
What's the most common cause of an animal coming into your care?
There's a number of them. One is vehicle accidents, and babies are found in pouches after a vehicle accident. There's dogs. Dogs often attack animals. And there's also hunting. So people will bring us the babies if they've hunted mum to make sure that that species continues. Yeah.
What's the hardest thing about being a wildlife carer?
Oh, for sure it's got to be the heartbreak of having to euthanise an animal or when one passes away. You know, you put so much care and time and effort into these animals and you get attached. Doesn't matter who they are or what animal it is, you do get attached. And it's heartbreaking when they pass away, or you know you have to have them put down because it's too much for you and they're in pain. Mm. So, but you know, the good outweighs the negative for sure.
Heidi's husband, Ray Sampi, is the sanctuary builder and fixer.
That's my amazing husband. my manual worker. He goes and does everything I ask him to. He's just amazing at just making things from nothing. And most of this stuff is all secondhand that we've got from the tip, and we've taken down people's old fences and erected them here and just to make what we have now.
Even with a thrifty handyman husband, running a wildlife shelter is an expensive business. There's little government funding for this kind of operation. It's all done on a volunteer basis.
Oh, there's huge costs involved in it. I am affiliated with the Kimberley Group, and they do pay for a lot of the medications, the veterinary medications for us, but everything else we're completely self-funded. So our milk, everything here, every bit of facility you see, every piece of equipment, we've paid ourselves. It comes out of our own pocket. So, yeah, it's not a cheap game, that's for sure.
How do you guys make your living out here?
My husband has the butcher shop in town. It's just a little business, a little family business we do. And I work from home doing all the bookwork, so hence I can actually spend that time out here and do the animals.
So you're covering all spectrums of the animal life there, aren't you?
We are, yep. But one pays for the other.
How do you delineate between animal life, you know, in relation to food production and animal life in relation to the animal lives that you try and save?
Well, I look at it in a very different way to most people. I often say to people, you know, do you eat meat? Have you ever bought meat? Have you ever rescued an animal? And everyone will say yes to one or both of those questions. You know, I'm not here to change the world. I'm just here to help out the animals that do need my help right now.
Do you find that people are surprised that it's the butcher and the wildlife carer?
No, funny enough, everyone in Derby's just, it's just been an automatic thing. So everyone often working at the shop and someone will bring you a bird or, you know, a wallaby or something. So people often drop the animals off at the butcher shop. So it's quite ironic, really.
What about roo meat? How do you feel about roo meat?
I have no problem with animals being killed for food if it's done humanely and correctly. It's the suffering that I really, really am against.
So will you eat kangaroo?
No. No, not at all. I don't like it. I have tasted it, emu, everything else. Yeah, I just don't like it anyway. But I'm not a big meat eater.
I was about to say, are you vegetarian?
No, I'm not. But I'm not really a big red meat eater.
As we're having this conversation, Ray Sampi is having an afternoon beer on the deck on the other side of the house.
You are on a bit of a break from work at the moment, is that right?
Yeah, I've taken sort of a couple of days off, actually 2 weeks off to give Heidi a bit of a hand out here. She wanted a couple more compounds built for the roos. I'm basically her manual labourer out here, so if she wants something built, that's what I do.
So do you look after the animals or you're like the infrastructure man?
I sort of look after the infrastructure side of things. If she needs a pen built or something made, a box made, I'll do that. But I'm that type of guy that I'll get up in the morning and do the feeding for her. Some morning I'll get up at, say, 4:30, 5 o'clock and do a round for her, feed all the joeys.
It sucks a lot of money, doesn't it, wildlife care?
I think so, yeah. I don't check the bank balance, but I leave that to Heidi. We own a business, so we're lucky enough that we have a reasonable business in town that we make a bit of money from that. We own a butcher shop.
You're chuckling when you're saying that. Why is that?
Well, I figured I sort of knew where you were coming from. We sell a lot of game meat. A lot of the clientele up here like that sort of meat. We sell a lot of crocodile. We sell a lot of emu. A lot of kangaroo.
How do you reconcile essentially running a wildlife sanctuary and also selling meat?
It's completely separate, completely different. What Heidi is doing out here is a passion and caring for young animals, either through a gunshot victim of the mother or roadkill. I've been a butcher since 13, and that hasn't changed. I think as long as the meat has been processed correctly, then it doesn't matter what you're selling. People have got to eat. People need meat in their diet. So selling a crocodile burger or a kangaroo tail or a lamb chop, there's no difference to us. All we're doing is selling the product.
So do you eat roo?
Love it. I do. Yep. I don't eat any of the roux that we grow up here, that I can assure you. Although I've looked at a few of their tails and they do look pretty good if they've been milk fed for a few months, but no, we don't. Promise you don't. And we do make a pretty good kangaroo jerky, but we don't use the kangaroos from here, I promise you. I don't think Heidi would like that.
So you'll get up and feed joeys in the morning, and then you'll sell people room meat at the shop?
Absolutely. Yep. These little blokes here probably cost us money. I go to work and I make money out of the roos. So, yeah, it's a little 50-50, isn't it? Works out well. It's a great marriage, isn't it?
So would you describe yourself as an animal lover?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Look, I would say I'm pretty normal. As a child, I grew up hunting. I still like hunting. Although I don't nowadays go out and shoot too many animals. Nowadays, if the rifle comes out, it's to euthanize an animal. So, however, I do have a lot of friends that do go hunting. I'm not against that. That's what they do. We all make our own choices. So, look, I don't go hunting for live animals much anymore.
On the way out, we go past one of the sanctuary's other resident helpers, a maternal kangaroo called Jade.
Oh, so this is the inside nursery.
Yeah, so this is where they have all their pouches and their beds, what have you. So the ones that are old enough stay out here during the day, just stay here during the day, and then they're brought into the house at night. And ones like Jade here, she stays here all night, she comes and goes. We call her Auntie Jade, because if there's any babies around, she's gathering them up, looking after them, cleaning them. She lays in front of them, she won't leave them. She just protects them the whole time.
Like a foster mum.
Yeah, she is, yep. And she's the most delightful little girl with a beautiful personality, aren't you? Right? Yeah, she's so gentle.
For critters like Auntie Jade and her fellow rescues, the Derby Wildlife Sanctuary is exactly that, a sanctuary. And they're blissfully unaware of where the money comes from that keeps them alive.
There you have it. That's how one local butcher shop is funding a Kimberley Wildlife Sanctuary. Now, Australians have undertaken all sorts of modifications to the humble flat white, leading to all kinds of interesting brews, including turmeric lattes and even broccoli coffee. The stout, oddly shaped boab tree now joins the list of options. Made using the nut of the ancient trees, which dot the Kimberley landscape, the nutty drink is starting to get a strong following among locals and tourists. The Country Hour's Matt Bran gave it a whirl.
I'm here in Derby, Western Australia, the home of the boab tree, ordering a coffee in the morning as you do. And I've actually ordered a boab coffee. What is a boab coffee?
Well, local fruit lagari is a species of plant that's managed to live out in the desert here without much water. And we make a coffee out of the bean, roast it up, and it's just like regular coffee. And people up here seems to think it's a pretty good brew.
So it's a big nut, but there's, what, little seeds within it, is it?
Yeah, we use... the girls separate the flesh out and make a juice, and we have the leftover seeds, roast them in the oven, and grind them up, blend it with coffee, and put it through the espresso machine, and it gives it a slight nutty flavour, and people seem to think it's nice and creamy.
Is it easy to collect enough nuts and and cater?
No, it's not, but it's a little bit goes a long way. It really goes a long way. The pulp itself expands, so when we put a teaspoon of powder in some water, let it settle overnight, it expands out to 3/4 of a cup.
Wow.
And it tastes zesty, it's full of vitamins and minerals, and it's an amazing plant.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this for?
Just about 6 months. Yeah. We're just trying it out today here at the... where are we? The
Economic
Forum in the Kimberley. Yeah. I've done a few events, Mowingham, which was down here a couple of months ago, and then the Rodeo, and very well received by the locals. And so, yeah, the locals are picking it, processing it, roasting it, serving it, and
And here we are. Well, there's a lineup starting to happen here, so I'll grab my boab coffee. Thank you so much for being on the Country Hour.
No, cheers, mate. No worries.
Barista Richard Hosking serving up boab coffees in Derby, WA. That report was from Matt Bran.